For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Exactly 478 years ago yesterday, on June the 22nd, 1535, the 66-year-old Bishop of Rochester, England, was carried up to the Tower Hill in London. He could barely walk. When the bishop reached the gibbet of the scaffold that had been prepared for him, the sheriff stripped him of his garments. And the crowd who had gathered to witness his martyrdom gasped at the sight of his long, lean, slender body. Nothing but skin and bones. He looked more like 106 years old than 66 years old. The frail bishop opened up a little pocket New Testament that he was carrying. And he prayed, "O Lord, this is the last time I shall ever open this book. Show me some comforting passage whereby I, your poor servant, may glorify you in my last hour." And he closed his eyes and he randomly opened up his Bible. And the first words he saw on the page were from St. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 3 to 4, which reads, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do." He closed his Bible, and for a moment he prayed quietly, with his hands and his heart raised to heaven. Then he turned toward his executioner, and he said, "I forgive you." Then the executioner blindfolded his eyes, and the bishop knelt down and put his neck upon the low block. And the executioner took one quick step forward, raised his axe, and with a single blow, cut off his head. "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Do you know the name of this bishop martyr from Rochester? His name? Cardinal John Fisher. Saint John Fisher. Saint John Fisher, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday. Now, the question is, what crime did Cardinal Fisher commit that deserved beheading? You may know. Saint John Fisher refused to sign the Act of Supremacy naming King Henry VIII of England and his successors as, quote, "the only supreme head on earth of the Church of England." If someone in England in the 1500s refused to give King Henry VIII supreme authority as the only head of the Catholic Church in England, it would be treason, punishable by death. Usually not a merciful death like St. John Fisher of beheading, usually a painful death of being drawn and quartered. For a man of good conscience, signing the oath of supremacy would clearly be a first-class lie. It would be heretical, which means that it's contrary to the revelation we received in Christ Jesus. Because in truth, the only supreme head on earth of the church is the Pope, not the King of England. And so for St. John Fisher to sign the oath would be a violation of his conscience. It would be a religious liberty issue. The laws of England say that the king is the head of the church, but the laws of God say the Pope is the head of the church. And so St. John Fisher would have to violate his conscience if he followed secular law. And he said, oh no, I will follow the laws of God. Do you know how many bishops in England refused to sign the oath? We know that there were a number of holy priests, a number of holy consecrated religious brothers and nuns, a number of lay faithful who refused to sign the oath of supremacy, like our good friend St. Thomas More. But how many bishops in England refused to sign the oath making King Henry VIII the supreme head of the Church of England? How many? The answer? Uno. That's right. Only one. Only one bishop in all of England refused to sign the oath, and his name, St. John Fisher. On the day that he was sentenced to death, a very beautiful date, the 17th of June, 1535, at Parliament's Westminster Hall, Cardinal Fisher said to the House of Lords, he said, my lords, I am here condemned before you of high treason for denial of the king's supremacy of the Church of England. And now I shall tell you plainly my mind touching this matter of the king's supremacy. I think indeed, and have always thought, and do now lastly affirm, that his grace, his majesty the king, cannot justly claim any such supremacy of the Church of God. Wherefore, if the king will now adventure himself proceeding in this very strange and unwonted case, he shall deeply incur the grievous displeasure of Almighty God, to the great damage of his own soul and of many others, and to the utter ruin of this realm committed to his charge. I pray that God may remember his grace the king in good time, and that his grace will hearken to good counsel for the preservation of himself, his realm, and the quietness of all Christendom. And so St. John Fisher is saying, this is serious. This is very serious. The king is jeopardizing his immortal soul. God is deeply offended. And he's also causing others, many others, it says, to follow him. But St. John Fisher has no hatred for the king, only great love. And so he prays for his conversion. He prays that he will quickly come to good counsel from God and change his ways. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This story of St. John Fisher is very important because what happened 478 years ago in England, seemingly so long ago, is repeating itself now in our own day. Who was it that said, he who does not study history is bound to repeat it? What happened 478 years ago today is happening again now, right? Government leaders who think they can play God, imposing laws contrary to the law of Almighty God about the beautiful child within the womb, about the dignity of marriage between one man and one woman, laws that force us to accept health care that provides abortion, contraception, and sterilization, all gravely immoral. And someone will come along and say, you must marry me! You must marry me, no matter what my gender is. And I say, no, I mustn't. Someone will come along and say, you must provide me with health care that allows me to kill the baby within my womb. And I say, no, I mustn't. No, I mustn't. I cannot cooperate in your evil. And as St. John Fisher says, and God will be displeased. We shall deeply incur the grievous displeasure of Almighty God to the damage of our own soul. And they'll say, but I have a right to this. And I'll say, no, you don't have a right to do evil. And someday, they'll throw me in jail. Bishop Fisher, when he was ordained a priest, he never thought for the second that he would be thrown in jail and martyred for the one true church of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. I may be in jail. What can we do? What can we do? Yesterday, all of the dioceses of the United States of America began a fortnight for freedom. I've spared you my English accent, a fortnight for freedom. Fortnight, it's a beautiful British word that means 2 weeks. A fortnight, 2 weeks of intense prayer and fasting for the protection of our religious liberty. This is serious. 2 weeks of prayer and fasting, because Jesus says some demons can't be eliminated and cast out except by prayer and fasting. So we're going to pray and fast for 2 weeks for the protection of our religious liberty. That's what we can do. The prophet Zechariah says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and petition. On that day there shall be open a fountain to purify from sin and uncleanness. This is good news. The Lord in his mercy wants to open up the fountain of his most sacred heart and to pour out on us purification for our sins and our errors. He wants to pour out on us a spirit of grace and petition. So we pray during these 2 weeks that the Lord won't stop doing this, that the Lord will pour out on the church and on our nation this spirit of grace and petition, a spirit of purification. And during this time, we have recourse to our good friend, St. John Fisher. He's a very good friend of mine. He's one of my heroes. I have in my breviary a little prayer that he wrote, that St. John Fisher wrote, and I pray it often. I have recourse to him. Here's the little prayer that I have in my breviary. St. John Fisher prayed, good Lord, set in thy church strong and mighty pillars that may suffer and endure great labors, which also shall not fear persecution nor death, but always suffer with a good will slanders, shame, and all kinds of torments for the glory and praise of thy holy name. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.